What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast where we analyze reboots, remakes, sequels, and adaptations to see if there's any reason to keep doing this and why we keep revisiting these wells over and over and over again. As always, I'm your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, the sequel to the requel to Ghostbusters is out with Ghostbusters Frozen. I keep wanting to say Kingdom. It's Empire. It's the Frozen Empire, though.
You're putting the apes with the Ghostbusters together.
I mean, you know, to be fair, there's way more than a Kingdom of Apes and not really a lot of stuff that was frozen to be an Empire. So I think I'm justified in that mistake. Yeah, we're here with a sequel, which feels like it took forever to get out. But I know we've had delays and pauses and strikes and COVID and everything. It's interesting because I really am starting to wonder how many sequels will still have interest if it's going to be a 5 or 6 year cycle to make them, or if we're eventually just going to get kind of re-caught up.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the, I feel like with this franchise, though, I think people are willing to wait. They waited 25 years between the part two and this. They're like, just feed me stuff. I'll be there whenever you give it to me. I'll take it. It might be a niche audience, but they're there.
Yeah, I think they're showing up. I mean, it still has a lot of fanship. Our theater had a whole Ecto-1 car in front of it, and everyone was in costumes.
Everybody had proton packs.
Proton packs.
At some point, I was like, oh, cool, it's good to see everybody dressed up as Ghostbusters. Then I was like getting my drink. I'm like, wait a minute. Where the hell are you putting your... You can't sit down.
Those ticket sales are just proton packs. That's what that is. Half those ticket sales are just people's proton packs.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the movie?
So a bit of a long walk for this. After I watched this film, I realized, because I kind of wanted to see what the discourse was. And I realized that Ghostbusters sort of falls into a little bit what Star Wars does, where there's two types of fandom. There's a fandom who only have watched one and two. Some of them only have seen the first film. And then there's a fandom who have watched one and two, absorb the real Ghostbusters cartoon, the extreme Ghostbusters comics, the games, and that's when, like, hey, Ghostbusters for us can do anything. And some people are like, this should only be a comedy. Like, that's what this is a comedy. And that's why some of those folks who are the 2016 diehards who wave that flag will stand behind that, because, like, this is the closest that we've gotten to what that first was being a straight up comedy. Most other fans who've been sort of digesting anything that Ghostbusters sort of gives them is like, hey, when this is at its best, it can play in many different genres. And which is why I think Afterlife was accepted by a great deal of the Ghostbusters fandom, because it's like, hey, this works. This particular film decides to kind of retune itself from the Stranger Things-esque stuff that Afterlife did and kind of go back to being quasi-comedy. This one's a lot more action-oriented than either of the first two were, an action sort of comedy. The tone is more in line with the first one, but then a lot of injection of real Ghostbusters and extreme Ghostbusters. And if you've seen any of those and you like those, I think you will have a good time. I overall enjoyed the film. I had fun with it. But it also, there are a lot of threads that I kind of just like, I wish this went this way, or I did this way, or... This is a movie that unfortunately leans into nostalgia far too much when it's sort of ingrained in the DNA of what you get from this. Like, Afterlife was fine. I think you and I talked about this a little bit. Afterlife was fine with nostalgia because it was a part of the story. Like, you wanted to find out who your grandfather was. You had some disconnect from him. And so everything that sort of replicated again, plus it had been 25 years plus since the original, it sort of felt like we needed to have that refresher. This one is a lot of remember berries, and it has nothing to do with the story at all. It's just there. And you put the team back in New York, you put them in an Ecto-1, you put proton backs on, you put the theme song on, and you put this logo, you're going to naturally have nostalgia. You don't then have to go, there's Library Ghost, and there's Slimer, and like all of these things were like, I'm just going to keep hitting you over the head with it. And at some point it became a bit overwhelming, where I'm like, there's so much of this that I enjoy. Like, I love the Phoebe stuff. She is the heartbeat of these last two films, and everything for her character works for me. But then we just spend the time where, like, we got to throw in Slimer for reasons that don't make sense to this film, because the cartoon has Slimer as a part of the Ghost House. We won't explain it here for the live action one. Just go with it. I'm like, well, God, just doesn't all quite work. And so there's a bit of a torn back and forth that I have. Like, did I enjoy it? Did I have fun? Absolutely. But I think there are too many subplots or too many character arcs for there's way too many characters in this movie. That's a piece of this. But there's too many characters in this movie, and there's too much reliance on nostalgia that makes it just sort of go down that level. But I think it was fun. Phoebe's great, and I loved it. Looked cool. Like, the ghost and the way that they do things is cool. It's just we don't see it until the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest hang up. I agree with a lot of what you said. It's an interesting thing that we talk about on our show all the time of like, how is the nostalgia effective? Is there a reason to be telling this story now? And there's, it's a lot of evergreen themes that we see in this movie. It's a lot of like Phoebe growing up and her brother doing the like, I'm an adult now. And Paul Rudd stepping into this like, am I your dad? Am I your teacher? How do I
I
be
love
like
it. Yeah.
more assertive? And unfortunately, almost all of that gets watered down by nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. And I think there's a lot of examples. Ghostbusters Afterlife works really well. The Scream franchise, I think, handles it pretty well, where we bring back legacy characters for a reason, for a narrative, for some way to kind of connect the tissue. And then there's other ones that are just sort of being like, remember how you felt when you were 12? Does this work for you?
Jurassic World is one where I'm just like, guys, why is everybody here?
We're gonna sing down the theme song. We're gonna sing like the Beetlejuice 2 trailer was a great example to me of. I'm like, oh, we're gonna sing Deo slow down, and he's gonna show up. But to me, the most egregious version of like nostalgia for no reason is when we bring back old lines as if everyone knows it. I hated it in The Flash when he's like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. As if Ezra Miller's Flash had like heard him say that, or as if Michael Keaton was like, hey kid, this is my catchphrase.
Or as if like 80% of your audience has any idea what you're talking about. Because some of these folks might, this might be the first entry that they have. Or Afterlife might have been their first entry that they have.
And so even when they like yelled dickless at the mayor, I was like, what was that, like a national headline that everyone saw that
And
the ghost
right, because there's two fold
said
parts of
this
that. Because
man has
like,
no dick? Like,
right,
what is,
like
what are
was
you doing?
this, like was something, we didn't have recorders back then, but did after that room, because they were in a room when that line was said in the first one, did someone just go outside of like, he called this guy a dickless. Like, and it just spread over time.
I'll buy a story that's been passed on and is like fun in there, but I still was like, okay, so this has been haunting this mayor for 25 years. And it really didn't feel like we had any agency for the new characters anymore, other than being like, we got them. Isn't this fun?
Oh,
Outside of
like,
me and Ray.
our folks from Afterlife. This should have been if this should have been just the Spengler family. It should have been and Gary, like Paul Rudd's character. That should have been who all was in this film. Lucky and Podcast don't need to be in this movie. I can kind of accept Lucky because they did create, and I like what they created. They created this whole little subsection of where they're gonna the future of Ghostbusters tech and where we study ghosts and whatnot. And it makes sense to have at least one person who knows what the hell they're doing as Ghostbuster there. So she's fine. Podcast is irrelevant in this movie. He does not need to be here at all. And you can easily wipe him off the board because he's not from this town. And you went out of your way to put him in this movie. He's not from this town. And like Phoebe, he's a child. And so at some point, his parents are gonna be like, I don't want you strapping a proton pack on your back. And he's just cool, he's just not there. That's easy.
It's interesting that they almost highlight the weak parts of Afterlife, which I really enjoyed in this movie by being like, okay, well, we introduced a lot of characters last time and we didn't actually do that much with them because we focused on Phoebe. So now we either have like a problem where we just don't acknowledge them at all, or we have to like make these weird roles because they're not on the team. Like, it almost felt like everything was so disconnected. And I think they were really trying to build a world where they were like, well, we're going to have the underground, Area 51, Conjuring 2, all the ghosts in the cages. This is where Eddie and Lucky are. And Ray and Podcast have their show that they do. And they're focusing on like people bringing in artifacts. And then there's the Ghostbusters team that's out doing Ghostbuster stuff. And I was like, okay, I mean, I guess, but if we're going to do this like in an Avengers way where Doctor Strange shows up and brings in this person, and then the Guardians are here and they show up. Eventually, everyone has to show up and drive to the same plot, and we never really did that.
And I think a lot of that would have been better if we had spent a lot of time with Lucky and or podcast in Afterlife, we would be able to accept that here because, I know who they are. I know their agency. I know why they're here. There's nothing that was ever in Afterlife that gave me the thought that Lucky had any interest to take an internship at a Ghostbuster science facility. None.
Yeah, you very easily could have had her there, just helping Eddie out. And you could have very easily made podcast the narrator almost for us. Like, we could have just, it's a video game, so it's not a great apples to apples, but the Spider-Man Insomniac games have J. Jonah's podcast on when you're swinging around and kind of recapping what's happening or how the world is reacting to it. And if we're going to do this, it's cold in July in New York, it almost would have begat us to have that connection to the city, to have podcasts just every now and then just on a radio station in a car and be everyone's freezing to death. But I was with these guys once. I don't think we need to be getting rid of the Ghostbusters. They're going to figure this out. That almost would have been a fun way for him and Ray to explain to the laymans what's happening without really getting him, them in there.
Yeah, you're keeping him on the board. He's still a part of the cast. He's still a part of this, but you're not ham-fisting him into this. Because the other, Phoebe's the heartbeat. I love the story. I know you weren't quite, I don't think you were quite as fan of the Phoebe Melody piece. I dug it. I dug it more when I thought about it. I think I dug it more now that remembered what Afterlife was, because I recalled that Phoebe did have, she's the only one who could actually sort of speak and have conversations with the dead. So I think that's why they just kind of we're going to add on to that and say, so I get why she was the one that they sort of chose to be the person that, she's the her that they have to pick. She's the heartbeat. But they also sort of tried to make Ray the heartbeat, and they gave him a story thread that didn't really have a payoff. Although the conceit of it, the thought of it works, hey, I miss being on that ride. I miss being the Ghostbusters. Him staring out the window when the car goes by, I was like, oh, that's sad. You don't get to play in that. That is all thrown out the window when it is very easy for him in the last act to just walk up into the firehouse and just throw on his suit. And no one's the wiser. Anybody can join. Janine has a suit. Bankman just shows up and has a suit. I'm like, well, hold on. If it's this easy for you guys to all just get back into it, then why is this a story beat at all? There's no onus for him to hey, it's not like they told you don't come around anymore. We got this from here. Sit this out. It seems like you can show up and be a Ghostbuster whenever the hell you choose.
And that's, I think, one of the issues with a lot of those multiple storylines is, one, they were all wrapped up real quick. Like, we took so long to get to the last fight, and then just almost everybody's storyline was wrapped up with Eddie being like, we had one more last, we had one last dance in us, or it's Bill Murray says it. And then you just have her, Phoebe, just call Paul Rudd dad, and she just throws the keys to the son to be like, you're the adult, you're driving now. And I was like, oh, so we're just gonna blast these out one after the other and be done. Yeah. Okay.
I like the father story. I think the father thing pays off. It's just, we spent so much time giving Trevor these little vignettes of catching Slimer or even the Patton Oswalt stuff. We don't need to go to somebody else to get information. We've seen Ghostbusters enough that either Ray or Phoebe can give us this information. They're smart enough to have this knowledge. We don't have to go to another person for stunt casting just to be like, this person can go ahead and tell us what this is. And it would have actually shortened up the time frame a little bit.
There were a lot of long adventure beats of we got to find this and we got to put this together. And there was no antagonistic force aside from what's in the ball to be like, well, we got to go quick.
I think
New York wasn't getting colder. Was no real agency. And I think that's why a lot of the endings for characters didn't have that weight, because all those stories I liked. Yes. And then instead of having any moment or breath to kind of be like, oh my God, she called me dad. We're we're doing it. And then in a crowd with an alarm going on.
At the very end, and we're moving. We're just there's no moment to sit in that a minute. You kind of just It's like, yeah, I heard it, and then just keep going. Like, well, hold on, that's a after everything that we've had in this movie, that's a should be a pretty heavy beat, but they just go for it. I think this movie it suffers from because it is trying so much to be like the animated series, which is done in 30 minutes. But in this, they spend a lot of time like trying to find out what these clues mean. But there's the middle act of this movie just drags, and because they do the thing that we've talked about before, where we as an audience know the answer. And it takes the people on screen to forever to figure it out. You're like, guys, come on, speed this up, get to the point. And there's just way too much of that. We know he's in the ball. Either A, get him out of that ball faster so he can go do
Way
some
quicker.
more villainy sooner, or give me
Really
another
interesting when they're
action
out of the
beat
ball.
somewhere. Give me another action beat somewhere to speed this process up. But us going and doing study here, talk to this person, study here, talk to this
What
person,
happened to
that's not
henchmen?
fun. Yeah.
Remember when villains had henchmen? And I loved the
Right.
possessor ghost and the conjuring ghost. There were so many fun things to play with that I sort of at the end was like, oh man, we really didn't like pay off a lot of this.
Yeah.
We tried to make Phoebe's ghost friend, like the bad, like, oh, does it have to be her? And then that also didn't. It's such a good example of a movie where if we ask, are we treading water here or are we adding anything new? We're adding so much new stuff to this lore and this world, and none of it really feels congruent. Like we don't really have that weight of a lot of other reboots and sequels to reboots and the continuation of other stories where we sort of feel any sort of like,
There's
oh
no
wow, we
weight.
really like changed how the force works here. And oh, we
Right.
really like discovered something new. Or I hate when they do it, but like your John Hammond had a secret partner that he worked with.
Yeah. I mean, I know people like to crap on Last Jedi, but the Last Jedi does a great job of after Force Awakens sort of redoes things. It's like, cool, we're gonna break things, and some of this stuff is gonna have weight. There's consequences to it. I think so similar to the Jurassic World, I have the problem where we put all these legacy characters, we bring everybody back, and when you start, I know when you're a comedy, you can just do things for laughs and whatnot, but we're now switching into sort of being more of a drama or a sort of sci-fi action thriller. There needs to be a little bit more weight. And so when you put all of these people in like 14, 15 people in a firehouse, I don't know how they were trying to get that shot. That shot looked insane. When you do that, someone has to be put in peril. Like it's way too easy for them to get out of that. And so for all of them to then get back out of it, it's like, this is a Jurassic World problem. We put all these legacy characters on the page again, and none of them die or have anything that actually happens to them that puts them in a point where, hey, I'm just going to go do this again the next time that we have another fight. I'm going to put on my proton pack and do this again.
And it leaves us in an interesting place because the movie made money. It's like it's
Yeah.
doing well. There's
Yes.
clearly, whether it's older fans or
There's an
newer fans
audience.
or a
Yeah.
mix or all of it, people are going. And yeah, and then part of me just goes, okay, well, like now what? Because now we've introduced the Fire Master, we've introduced kind of more mysticism, we're getting into this notion of like Ghostbusters existed with air quotes when they were doing it with
Like
this
a
ball back
different
in the
version.
day. We've been
Right.
figuring this out.
Seems
So
like
like
now
what's
New
the
York
next?
accepts them. like New York is like, we want them, where all the previous ones are
Apparently they
like,
were
we
a
were anti.
pop culture phenomenon because now we have the trailer for the toys and the music
The
videos
music
here,
video playing. Yeah.
which was another just
It's
like, okay guys, we got it. We were all
a
here, we
choice.
all have nostalgia
Right.
and we're back. You don't need to
Yeah.
beat us over the head with this. So I'm hoping that as it continues, we get what's the right word way to phrase this? Lower stakes sounds bad, but I guess what I mean is more tangible stakes. I feel like almost every villain that we faced has been like, I'm here to destroy the planet.
Destroy the world. Destroy the world.
And
Destroy the world. Yeah.
the only difference with this one is like, I want to do it with ice. And it's
Yeah.
like, okay, I guess I would love to see like a
Yeah.
smaller ghost that has a more
A smaller scale ghost.
malicious.
Like I mean, I think I mentioned it when we did a previous Ghostbusters, but one of my favorite villains ever in any of the iterations of cartoons, Extreme Ghostbusters, was this door-to-door salesman that literally went door-to-door and then ask you what you wanted, like what was your greatest wish, and then they wound up in like a nightmare scenario. Like they in their dreams they wound up in a nightmare. But cool, you can truncate this down and do something that's more to just a one-to-one to who these people are, and everything doesn't have to be massive scale all the time. And I feel like this series consistently has tried to one up, like, we need to get bigger, we need to get bigger. And I think the opposite needs to happen. You need to get more, especially when you're focusing on Phoebe so much, you need to get smaller. Like, let's get more into who these people are and spend some time, and specifically just these people. Stop giving us all legacy characters at this point. From now on, stop them. They should not be here anymore.
And the only one you really need is Eddie if he's going to head up the like Tony Stark
Yeah,
Avengers version
Zedmore is
of
the only
this.
person, and again, he's a person, like, as people kept showing up to the firehouse at the end, I got progressively angry because I'm like, why is he here? Like, he's the money bags. He should not be in peril. Like, get him out of that place. He should not be here. Janine, why is she here? Like, there are so many people, the scientist who worked at the other lab. You can bring us the proton packs. You do not get to put one on. Like, is there not a like a mandate who can run these things?
When like none of their weapons worked, and we know that, and like Phoebe puts it together like that and builds it, and I was like, well, this there's so much interesting stuff truncated into the last like 10 minutes that I'm like, man, if you would just stretch this out, it would have been so fun to see like Phoebe and Lucky and Eddie working on this brass Ghostbuster ice proof thing, and it would have been so fun to see more like Slimer become friends and actually help out instead of just like doing a
Just
bit with
blob.
it. And I was like, there were so many quick moments, like even getting Kamel to start playing with the candle and lighting it. I was like, oh, it would have been fun to get here a little bit sooner and see him really play with it. Because then our last battle is just like the two lasers shooting at the guy and then being like, I don't know how much longer I can hold
And the rest of
on.
the and the other 13 people that are present are all pinned against a wall because we needed to do that.
You'll put stuff together quick. Now, oh, here's why I have my match. Oh, here's why I'm like, man, we're just knocking everything out here. We were going, and then somebody was like, hey, we have like eight things to wrap up. The lights on the bar are on, and we gotta get all these people out of here. So she needs to know why she's got matches. Kumail needs to figure out the fire. Phoebe needs to call him dad. Slimer and him need to become friends. She needs to get the cars for her son. They need to acknowledge that this was their last dance. And it ends like we are just
And we got to
speed
call the
running
mayor
through
dickless.
this.
We got to call the
Yeah,
mayor
we
dickless.
gotta, yeah. You know, this thing, apparently, this thing that people yell at him everywhere he goes. The Knicks say it every game
Every
at halftime.
time.
Yeah, just a lot of lessons of like effective nostalgia and imagery for imagery's sake. It's a very interesting thing to see when the first one did such a good job of being like, here's a meaningful way to pull at your heartstrings and push us forward. And this was such a like, well, here's
It's
the
like a
library ghost, and
hodgepodge.
here's Slimer, and
Yeah, it's
here's
a
this, and
hodgepodge.
here's
And like,
this.
and it's crazy because there is a really great deep lowercase, like a heartfelt story in there with Phoebe and Melody. It's just so much other mess happening around it.
And I'm just such a stickler of like if you stick your landing or not. And I think that's why I sort of like, I think that's probably why I kind of walked out a little bit more deflated, where I was just like, okay, like we just built up a lot of stuff and then we just sprinted through
To the
it.
end.
I really kind of wish that I felt something. This is like the equivalent of asking somebody you like to prom, like right when the bell for the period ends. And you had a plan and you had flowers and the song was going to be on and then it buzzed and she was like, I have to get to science. And you're like, no, wait, the prom. And then as she's running, she like yelled yes to you. That's, and you're like, okay, I got what I wanted, but I don't
I don't feel
feel
good.
it. Like,
Oh
I
yeah.
don't feel full. I'm not
Yeah.
excited. I'm like, all
That's
right,
kind
that
of
was a
how, yeah, that's
bummer.
how it was. 'Cause I think the first act is I loved opening on the action sequence of the chasing. Like,
Open
this is great. They
so
nailed it.
strong.
Yeah, and the Fire Masters opening, like, all of that was great. And then it just comes to a screeching halt with us trying to get that ball to where we need to freaking open it up.
And a lot of opportunities for like thematic relevance of what's going on. Like a lot of evergreen stories. I don't need it to get like, oh, global warming and now it's cooling or whatever. But like we had a lot of opportunities to play a bit more. Like I really was waiting for winter in July to be way more of a thing. I really was like, oh, yeah, like let's do this weird, like, the temperature drops and no one knows what to do and it's snowing and there's a plan and
Was funny. About an hour and 10 into the movie, I was like, this movie's called Frozen Empire. The only ice is in my cup. Like, nothing is frozen at all on the screen.
yeah, no, and more like the frozen firehouse, I guess. I mean, I really was like, "Ooh, he's gonna get his army. We're gonna do all the. We're gonna do some like the mummy trailer stuff." Makes it like
when they attack the beach and everything. Like, oh, this is, we're gonna see New York under ice. Everything's gonna be crazy. No, that's the
all these ghosts in the middle to play with, and just like there was so much there.
Yeah, but there are some really cool sequences in this. Like, as much as we're crapping on that, there are some really cool things. Like when the frozen ghost first comes out, that scene with Lucky and the is great. Like, there's some great horror beats in it. Him going to sort of doing our Sarah Connor piece and be like, "Are you a flamethrower?"
I wanted so much more of that. I was like, "Oh man, are we gonna do a T3 where he's just going to each smoke shop and wiping these people out?" Yeah. Where apparently he'll just know what apartment it is. we really could have picked three or four of the 10 things going on and really honed in on it.
Yeah, because I think the melody, I think the like I said, the Phoebe melody stuff is strong. And you can even see at the beginning of it when he first plays chess, there's a piece of her because she's thinking like, maybe this is my grandfather coming back to play with me. And then when she's like, oh, that's not, she doesn't really say it, which like, I'm kind of disappointed because you're not who I thought you were going to. And that's what you should lean into.
Really effective dry comedy with them. I love the like, you're not scared. Yeah, I mean, I can run if that makes you feel better. So you're going to invite me into your ghost extermination house? And I was like, yeah, this is all great.
This is great.
This is all fantastic.
Yeah.
It just gets bogged down in a lot of unnecessary nostalgia. And I really, really am hoping, because we're not going to stop doing this.
No,
every studio has been like, more IPs.
We need a franchise, and this has made Sony, after all five films, they've made a billion. So they know that at least, even if this doesn't get like a $500 million thing, this is like their Star Trek, where they're like, keep the budget small. People are going to come see this. We can get 250 easily off of these.
I just hope we learn the right lessons, which is really just still that. And at least maybe I'm wrong. I think people still want like the deeper stories, the heavier moments. Everyone's talking about superhero fatigue, but I genuinely think that really what it is big CGI fights that don't have any real stakes. Every single one of these AAA blockbusters now is the world is ending, which we know it's not, which means you don't care anymore. Like you look at like Iron Man 1 or the first Ghostbusters or even like the original Turtles movies that were like something personal is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, it's possible that Stark Industries will collapse. Right. I buy that could happen because we know we're not going to kill Iron Man in the first movie.
Right.
I buy that Shredder can win this battle and lose the war.
Mm-hmm.
I buy that. But when we're just like, all the characters are here and this character only wants to kill everything. And you're like, well,
there's,
and obviously the Ghostbusters are going to franchise.
They're not going to wipe out these people. Yeah.
Strange is like every reality might be destroyed. It's like, oh well, then it won't.
Yeah.
Like, oh well, okay. That's not going to happen. You might be stuck in a time loop forever.
I hope these are going to probably start coming out like every 3 to 4 years, which I'm okay with, because us Ghostbusters fans, we've been hungry for a while, so we're now kind of like, just give us content. But I do hope that whoever takes over next, like Ivan Reitman should still be, Jason Reitman should still be a producer. But I want him to sort of hand this off to somebody who's not so attached to him, because I feel like there needs to be fresh eyes on this. It's clear this director was a fan of Ghostbusters, but sometimes let that fandom get in the way of what's best for the story. And I need somebody to sort of come in and kind of do their own thing. And I actually think, I mentioned this to you, Ghostbusters should be whatever genre we want it to be. Like the Stranger Things one was fun. This is more like the cartoon. Let's get a horror movie. Let's get like, we can play within this world with these characters and just kind of change it up each time. So like the Terminator one and two.
Why haven't we done an innocent ghost and a guilty ghost? Like, why haven't we just locked these guys in a Ready or Not style house?
Yeah.
15 ghosts and been like, look, one of these guys is trying to possess somebody and keep on his murder rampage. And the other ones are just like trying to pass by. I don't know. There's so many ways where I'm like, well, why are we? Let's go another direction. Keep
playing in this box of everything leads to the firehouse or leads to this big battle in the sky for the world. We can. Oh, there's other options to do.
Firehouse is now the construct the to of, both worlds. I was like, oh my god, guys, we're Sex in the City in this now. It's a character in our story. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But I did overall enjoy it. I can sit here and gripe, but you know. our mission on the show isn't to critique as much as to just kind of be like, well, what are we examining? Our nostalgia versus not the nostalgia.
And that's literally what happens here. Example of
it not doing it.
Yeah, this is when it doesn't work.
Ironically, both kind of happened in this movie. Where I'm like, man, there's like, you really got
there's some stuff in there.
And then sometimes you don't. So I hope we just learned the right lessons and get in. Because it was still a fun time.
It's still fun, right? Yes.
I wasn't mad. Like, I didn't walk out annoyed that I spent 2 hours there.
Yeah,
it's a good time. I think that's our show, guys. So we will see you, I guess, next week. We got to watch that monkey and dinosaur fight.
Yeah, that ape and that
fight together this time. Yeah. They're buddies, friends, really.
Yeah, he's got it on.
Oh my God, that's going to be such a time. You can follow us on Twitter at HollywoodADI, on Instagram at Hollywood Already Did It. Terrence is our YouTube page where Hollywood Already Did It with his TV reviews and trailer reactions and everything else. I'm at, as always, Blake, and he's at Terrence Tatum. And we will see everybody next time.
Later.